right, welcome everyone to episode 6 of Talking Shop. We've made it to a whole half a dozen. It's quite amazing, really. Tonight I've got with me Mr. Luke Drum, XNA MVP extraordinaire and general do-gooder, at least in the XNA space. Luke, welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. So just for those who don't know you, of which there's probably only 3 or 4 people in the entire world, would you like to fill us in a bit about yourself?
Okay. I am one of those consultant types going around poking people rudely saying, oi, you missed a bit. What else? Possibly an architect of my own downfall. As you mentioned, an MVP, and yes, all round kind of geeky guy. I wish I had some sort of life to kind of pad that out a bit more now that I reflect upon it, but, yes, that's me.
All right. Now, XNA MVP, what does that actually involve?
Well, for a lot of MVPs, they spend their hours, weeks, months answering questions on forums and all sorts of things, basically being very, very nice people. I'm not one of those MVPs. I'm the sort of MVP that rocks up at any speaking opportunity that happens to even be hinted at and talk at people more than with people. And most of the time it tends to be your, I don't know, cliched people that might be interested in games development, people like uni students and high school students and so forth. But, you know, I'm not picky about it. Anyone who's willing to, well, suffer through my voice for longer than about 40 minutes gets my vote.
So given this podcast will be about 30 minutes.
You're all safe.
Excellent. All right. Now, XNA, what is it exactly, just for those who aren't aware?
It's a beautiful little microcosm of Microsoft. So when XNA first came out, before I actually describe what it is, everything got branded with XNA all of a sudden, kind of like .NET. Remember when everything was labeled .NET? We had Windows.NET, we had KitchenSink.NET. It was beautiful. And similar thing happened with XNA briefly. But these days, thankfully, sanity has returned, and XNA refers to basically three things. Working from the top down, it's an extension to Visual Studio, and it usually goes by the name of Game Studio. And basically, that's some bits and pieces bolted onto the side of Visual Studio to make the creation of games a little bit easier. It's also a set of libraries that basically sit on top of DirectX and all of those funky, hardcore game creation libraries and translate them into something a little more usable for mere mortals like, well, myself. I can't speak for you, Richard, but yes, for me, it makes things all more, that much more intelligible. So anyone who's kind of snuck a peek at the DirectX stuff and noticed that it's kind of a very, very thick tome of information that you need to know before you even make anything appear on the screen, we'll be happy to hear that XNA allows you to do basically all the same stuff, just so, so much easier. So, for example, getting something in 2D up on the screen takes all of about 2-3 lines of code. To get something 3D up on the screen, add like another 7 lines of code and voila, you're there. So yes, middle part is all about the libraries. And then the vital third part is where these games that you have created using Game Studio at the top and these libraries in the middle all come together to run. So, and the XNA runtime, Microsoft has been nice enough to produce a version for your home PC, for your trusty Xbox, for Zunes, which we don't really see that many of in this country, and the all-new, all-shiny, all-singing, all-dancing Windows Phone 7 series.
The one without cut and paste.
The one without cut and paste.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one.
That's the one.
But with nice graphics. Ooh.
XNA, in fact.
No, yes. There you go. So yeah, XNA. It's basically all the bits and pieces that you need to create games without investing, your teenage years in digging through DirectX manuals
Or OpenGL,
or
which is what
OpenGL.
I did, which was,
Yeah,
you
well.
know, and it didn't affect me none.
Look, I'm sure people pointing, staring at you in the street, making rude whispering behind their hands,
I
that's
thought that was just because of my bald spot, but you know. All right, so with the Windows Phone 7, there's a few differences between full-blown XNA and Windows 7 series, Windows Mobile 7 series.
With the exception of the name of Windows Phone 7 series, which strikes me as being made up by the same people who name baseball matches, yes, it's like 98% the same. When they were creating XNA, they were pushing really, really hard to have exactly the same development experience across all of these different platforms, and that was the grand goal at the start of the project. And when they came to the other end of the project, not only did they achieve their goal of having 98% or whatever the percentage was of having the same code across all three platforms from the developer's perspective, but actually internally how XNA runs, the actual code that runs on each platform is almost identical as well. So yes, it's the same joy across all platforms. You get nice debugging experience. You get, I won't say same performance characteristics, but at the very least, you get kind of the same code running.
Okay, so the new Phone 7 SDK that's coming out, does that have XNA in it, or is that a different beast? You know, I don't know. I haven't looked at it yet myself.
It has XNA built in. So yeah, for anyone who kind of missed the pre-GDC mix leaks and then the post-GDC mix press events and so forth, Windows Phone 7 comes built in with Silverlight and XNA as a core part of the Windows OS.
So you don't need to get a Game Development Studio to use it or to program
Where?
against it, or it's too early to say at the moment.
You do well for the from the point of view of XNA developers, it's business as usual. So you load up Game Studio, aka Visual Studio, and you write your code and you hit deploy and it shows up magically on your phone and life is good. From what I've seen, it's a similar story with Silverlight. So as I'm guessing all of us who listen to this podcast have a fairly good chance of, running across Visual Studio every once in a blue moon. Yes, it's you, the magic is taken care of. You hit F5 and voila, it's there.
So that brings up an interesting thing. Do you see game development moving towards that Silverlight space versus the XNA space because it's a lighter touch? You could then roll it out into web games, much like Flash, for instance. Die, Flash, die. And just becoming a much broader reach than you're going to get with an XNA-based development experience.
I think it will broaden things, but I'm not sure that XNA will lose any, well, dare I call it market share, simply because the Silverlight experience is going to be, well, I suspect, a draw card for developers who've developed games in, things like Flash. And spend, the bulk of their time laying out things in a nice environment such as Blend and then scripting it all up and moving on their merry way. Whereas the XNA development experience is, and the crowd that goes along with it is really coming from very much a kind of, well, more developer-centric view than a, design-centric view. So, yeah, I suspect you'll see what might be considered the kind of more traditionally hardcore or pro or serious games coming out of the XNA side of the phone development camp, and your Flash esque, you know, that kind of lineage of casual gaming coming out of the Silverlight guys.
So for something like Ragdoll Blaster on the iPhone, for instance, which has got a little physics engine in it and everything else, would you see that being the XNA side of things because of that physics calculation engine and the fact you want to be doing a lot of chunky math type stuff? Or would that be more a Silverlight thing, or it's going to be six of one, half dozen the other?
Six of one, half dozen of the other. The nice thing here is that while, you know, people have been off putting together, you know, data grids in Silverlight and so forth, the gaming end of the community has been working out ways to create physics engines that are usable both in Silverlight and XNA. So, it really could and should come down to whatever is best for you as a developer. So if you're feeling like dragging little boxes around and using Blend a lot, then Silverlight's there, and using an existing physics engine is you know, should be hopefully a fairly easy process with just a little bit of C# under the covers to wire it all together. And for the XNA crowd, it's life as normal.
Okay, very good. All right, so moving on to a few other things. Probably the number one question is, if I have to do line of business apps day in, day out, and I never get to play in sexy game space except as a user, and I get really jealous of all those guys who can code up game engines and get to work in game studios, and I get all stabby at the thought of it, and I want to do something like that in my day-to-day job, I'm really kind of screwed, aren't I?
I would suggest not, but it requires a deft touch to encourage those around you to see things in a slightly more gaming style.
Pray tell.
Okay, so for example, we have a product called Ribbon Hero, which was one of those kind of random, I think officially they're called Office Lab projects. Mm-hmm. Basically one of those outlets within Microsoft where anyone in the company can basically pipe up and spout some dream that they have, and, you know, hopefully someone will build it, or say, you know, there's no such thing as a stupid question, only stupid people. And basically what Ribbon Hero does, did I call it Ribbon Hero before? Hopefully I did.
Yes.
What Ribbon Hero does is it aids in the exploration and learning of Office. So Office 2007 and Office 2010, meet with a little bit of resistance when they get deployed into Office environments that haven't seen a new version of Office since
2003,
and, you know, you've got
actually that's
like,
not true, by the way. They probably saw a new version of Office in 2007, but the version they got was 2003.
Yeah. So people load up their trusty copy of Word and notice that the top half of the screen is now very, very different. And they go, oh my gosh, everything's changed. My productivity is going to drown. My boss is going to think less of me. And my rote style of learning my way through this horrible, horrible world of IT is all going to come crashing down around my ears. The Ribbon Hero people saw this dilemma and tried to basically flip it on its head. So what Ribbon Hero does is that it adds those gaming elements that people find so addictive and inserts them into ye old everyday Office. So when you load up Office, and you notice a brand new icon, you know, or a menu option on your copy of Word, mm-hmm. and you open that up, what Ribbon Hero does is it gives you points for that. So it every time you find out some new and wonderful feature of Office, Ribbon Hero pipes up and says, congratulations, you've won 5, 10, 15 points. And it posts them online, and you can compare with friends, and you can compare with Office workmates. And it really drills into a lot of things that, well, regular games drill into, things like people gaining the satisfaction of learning something, people, their compulsive need to drive up a score, to complete a percentage, to compete with others, all of these wonderful things.
So that someone can turn themselves into a level 80 druid in Word, effectively.
I think druids are more of an Excel thing, but yes.
So Word would be the paladin. Let's not go there.
This is where Microsoft PR steps into the foray and
Zot.
Yeah.
Okay, so how does that so I suppose this is what bringing the gaming concepts into line of business apps.
Yes.
But for what purpose? This is to make using Word fun? And we, you know, someone sits there, clicks a button and goes hee hee or something like that, or
well, I would have put that as, you know, worthwhile unto itself, but when I'm not feeling particularly, you know, antagonistic and, you know, gung-ho about the whole thing, I basically view this as something akin to why people invest in comfortable chairs and lighting and air conditioning for the workplace. You've basically got people sitting in a small room for 8 hours a day, and for a lot of people, those 8 hours are not particularly stimulating hours. They're, you know, dragging and dropping, filling in figures, and basically acting as the little fleshy pulp that pushes the keys rather than, you know, some highly intellectual, invigorated soul who's, you know, I don't know, freeing up the universe from aliens or whatever it may be. So if you can, if you as a business owner can grab these individuals and inspire them and make them actively want to do their job, then it's, you know, dare I say it, a win-win situation. If you're producing software for, you know, people outside of your company to use, then it really becomes a win-win situation, because not only are your customers being productive, but they're being productive and really enjoying it.
So one of the things I've seen you talk about is you know, applying game theory to developing software and having this concept of progressive expertise, I suppose, for want of a better term.
Yeah.
Does this fit with that, or this is more a fun learning tool rather than that progressive expansion of capabilities and, you know,
well,
it's launcher, etc.?
The two basically feed into each other. So for anyone who hasn't, once again, survived an hour of me blaring at you, there's a few notable people who have sprung up in the last few years talking about how there's no need for business applications to, you know, suck the very life out of you and be just this complicated mess of fear and intimidation and wondering if your supervisor is going to turn around and boot you out the door. One of those people is a guy by the name of Dank, or at least that's his online handle, and he writes a very impressive series of blog posts over at lostgarden.com, which I'm sure Mr. Banks will be nice enough to include a link to in the show notes.
Oh, indeed.
One of the things that Dan C, or Dank, talks about is making the learning curve and the enjoyment curve of business apps something a little closer to games. So, you know, if you take some classic examples, when you rock up at your brand new job and they say, congratulations on your new job, here's a chair, here's a computer, and here's a thumping great big grey box application that has a squillion little digits and endless numbers of buttons, and don't push that otherwise.
And data grids, don't forget the data grids.
Gosh, aren't data grids just,
the best invention for mankind.
Yeah. And unsurprisingly, a lot of people, upon hearing this fantastic news that they'll be dealing with such an app, basically, freeze up and go, oh my gosh, what have I got myself into? This is hideous. These stupid computer things, why do they have to make them so difficult? And I want to go home now, please. So what Dan and co talk about is turning that into more of a gaming situation where, much like, to take for example our old friend Mario, when you start up a game of Mario, what you actually get presented with on the first level is not everything that you'll face in the game from, that point forward. What you get introduced to is one or two basic things, like you hit the controller left and right, or maybe even just gently move it with your thumb if you're that kind of passive player. And you notice that Mario moves left and right. And then you walk a little further and you notice that there's a river and you fall into the river and die. And you think, that possibly wasn't the best experience. The game restarts, you walk over the river and you hit one of the buttons and you notice that Mario jumps. So you jump over the river and you continue walking. And eventually you hit the end of the level and you go, hurrah, I completed the level and I feel good about it and I learned something. And then the next level, you get presented with your first little turtle character and you wander up to the turtle character and you say, hello, and you die. And you think, gosh, that wasn't such a good experience. Maybe next time I'll jump over the turtle character. And just possibly when you're jumping over the turtle character, you accidentally land on top of the turtle character and you notice that you had this awesome power of the butt, which is a phrase you don't get to hear that regularly outside of Slate's profession.
Strangely enough.
And you defeat the turtle and you go, hurrah, I now know how to walk and I know how to jump and I know how to defeat turtles with my butt, which are life skills that I never knew I needed, but there you go. And so it progresses on and on. Each level you're learning something new and interesting. You're feeling really good about learning something new and interesting because everyone likes that feeling, that endorphin rush of completing a task and also, basically learning something new. It's one of those kind of lightly hardwired things into the human brain. And what we want to do is we want to take that style or that approach and introduce it into business software. So instead of you rocking up to business software and being confronted with this wall of pain, it turns into a slightly more pleasurable experience where, courtesy of things like what Ribbon Hero does, through points or through pretty little animations or whatever, you get introduced to it piece by piece and you get that little endorphin rush of learning. And basically, at the end of the day, instead of feeling like you survived some gauntlet of pain, some IT hazing ceremony, you walk away going, you know what? I learnt, 20 odd things and it was fun. And I beat Marcy from down the hall because she is so much going down tomorrow when I just show her my triple combo backflip roundhouse accounting function.
Just
really
imagine a room full of accountants doing accountant kung fu.
I want to meet the accountant who does accountant kung fu.
Without
a data grid. So the business wins because they get employees who go home to their family and go, you know what? I had a really, really fun work day and I want to return and I want to do my best and, it's just all wonderful. And the employees, don't come in zombified each day wishing that their lives would end and the ground would swallow them up. And gosh, 45 years of indentured service is ticking away second by slow second.
I think I catch the train with those people each morning. In fact, I'm
yeah.
sure I do.
So, points are not the only way to achieve this. There's, you know, this vast encyclopedia of dubious psychological tricks that the gaming industry knows about to make you feel sense of joy and accomplishment. And yes, being able to inject that into business software is a very cool trick indeed.
So one of the things, I was having a bit of a poke around today at things on the net, as you do. And I noticed on Twitter there was a mention of a thing called Git achievements.
Which I can supply no information on.
No,
because
okay.
this was a very brand new discovery for me as well.
So it's basically this project, Git-Achievements, on GitHub by Icebox. And what he's got is basically a little program that sits there and monitors your usage of Git. And as you do various things, you get achievements, much like Stack Overflow badges. And then, so there's an example. He's got the caretaker achievement, which is done by adding a git ignore file to your repository, for instance, which is just awesome.
It is.
And he's even got the ability to go and actually look at or post these achievements on the web. And so he himself has done, I think, about 23 of his 40 different achievements. So I'm sure he's working through things, and as you do them, you can level up various achievements as well. So I'm a level 5 checkerinnerer, or a level 2 repository explorer, or something weird. But yeah, I suppose it's just bringing that to something that even us nerds as developers can do on an amusing basis.
Yes, which still won't earn you any kudos down at the bar. It's kind of like saying, you know, I'm a level 12.
I'm like, don't you pick up chicks at the pub for saying, oh, I'm a caretaker on my Git repository?
What's the line from The Simpsons with Al Gore saying he's a level 12 Republican or something? It's a fantastic idea. And it's one that doesn't just appeal to developers, believe it or not. It's an idea that many, many a Facebook game is based on. There's, you know, games like Farmville, Cafe World, and all of those, which, you know, from the surface view are basically extracting the most boring, tedious grind out of, you know, World of Warcraft and making that a game. And, you know, something ridiculous like 78 million people play these basically nothing but grind games. And a lot of the joy that people receive out of that are things like awards and points and being able to share things with friends and compete against friends and, yeah, all of those type of things. So it's an amazingly compelling reason, which is good. It makes the world a better place.
I don't know that Farmville does that, but I think the point does. Point taken.
Look, digital cows need digital love too.
They do. All right, so very quickly, just with .NET 4 coming out, I should just come back. I wanted to ask this one earlier. What's happening with XNA Game Studio? I assume there's going to be a new version coming out shortly after RTM for that?
Yes, Game Studio version 4, which is unsurprisingly focused a lot on Windows Phone 7 series, World Series baseball thingy. And it's also including a lot of other things which make it really, really nice. But it's, you know, basically a spring clean and a chance for the XNA guys to tidy up those things that may have gotten the slip on previous versions. So now that XNA is being deployed to yet another platform, and you've got whole new generations of hardware coming out for the PC, it basically gives them a chance to go, okay, those decisions that we made back in version one, where we thought the industry was going to take a left and it actually took a right, we can, you know, go back and basically correct our mistakes and make life even easier. So XNA version 4 for is basically easier than XNA version 3 and easier than XNA version 2, certainly. And yeah, it's just a tweak, a hone, and the ability to write games for a brand new shiny device. Brand new shiny.
And obviously you can take advantage of all the nice .NET 4 stuff, such as the parallels and everything else that's in there, which will make some of that C-sharp code that's not directly XNA a lot easier to write as well, for instance. Or VB.NET.
Possibly best to save the VB.NET discussion for another time. But yes, all of those lovely C-sharp 4 things come into the fray. The thing about XNA 4 isn't so much that it adds a few more, you know, C-sharp bells and whistles. What it really does do is basically clean up some of the areas which have been tripping people up in previous versions. For example, once you get past the giggly joy of being able to put 2D images and 3D images up on screen in relatively no time at all, you start wanting to get into slightly more complex things like how to muck around with shaders and mm-hmm. creating shadows and special effects and stuff like that. And that tends to involve things like render targets and other beautiful bits of jargon. In prior versions of XNA, there were some great big huge holes in the ground that newbies used to fall into at great speed. And while it wasn't a particularly difficult, you know, challenge to get out of those holes, you know, it wasn't the best experience that people could possibly hope for. So, yeah, it was just a case of filling in those potholes. And now you can drive full speed into creating not only a brilliant game, but destroying metaphors left, right and centre.
Oh, fantastic. All right, and if I want to go down there, download all this gear for myself, site to go to is?
creators.xna.com.
Excellent. All right, Luke, we might leave our frivolity there, given we're running over time a little bit. Thank you very much for jumping on the show and having a chat.
Anytime.
And bringing your unique brand of silliness to it.
Anytime too.
All right, and thank you everyone for listening. This has been another episode of the Infamous Talking Shop Down Under, and we'll see you next time. Until then.